Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You may be seated. I won't keep you long this afternoon. We know that the Lord is here. There isn't a person here that's born again of the Spirit that doesn't know beyond any shadow of doubt that Jesus is here. We know that He's here. We know that He's a God of reality. We know that He's a God that hears and answers prayer. I thought about the young people giving testimonies this afternoon and how each one of them referred to the little church in Hollywood, because so many of them were 6, 7, 8 years ago. And even then they were talking about 200 or 300 people. And yet it seems small to us at this time. And I was just thinking how things had grown and how many thousands of souls had been saved during that period of time. It seems like yesterday and yet so long ago and so easy to become confused with time and events, because it seems like we have always been so busy that we haven't ever really had time to even think so often upon the wonderful things that we have seen at the hands of the Lord. I know at the time that we started in the ministry, this was the thing that touched my heart so much. I saw the youth of America, our sons and our daughters, roaming aimlessly across the face of this earth, dying in their sins, and yet we called ourselves Christian America. And you could talk to them one by one by the thousands, and they had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had never heard the plan of salvation. They had never known the reality of what the cross really meant, if they had ever heard anything at all about it. I thought about a nation that Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, had become a day of idol worshiping, of an idol that possibly never existed, called St. Nick, Santa Claus. That was what most of the American children thought about when they thought about Christmas. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, Easter, was no more than a bunch of painted eggs and an Easter bunny. And yet, we had churches on every corner, and we called ourselves Christian America. I knew then that we were doomed, that there was no place in this world that this nation could go but down, that God would never reverence, or would He ever have mercy on such a diabolical mess as that. It was the thing that sent us into the streets to take the gospel, that they might know the reality of Jesus Christ. There was no such thing as an old fundamental gospel song that anyone knew or had ever heard any longer. And all came back as something new because it had died completely away. And we became a strange people in our own land on the very gospel that we were teased on, that our churches had originally opened upon. We became a strange people, an alien in what was called Christian America. And yet we expected that God should have mercy upon such a people. No, He will not. He will not, He will not, He will not. Because it is written, and it's going to be fulfilled just as the Lord God has spoken that it would be. I was thinking today about points of power. When He asked Jesus, what is truth? What is truth? Jesus had that answer from the beginning of time. He said, I am truth. I am the way, and I am life. I am truth. I heard a modernistic minister recently talking about Jesus Christ. And he was referring to him as if he were referring to Shakespeare of yesterday, or possibly Mark Twain, or any of the poets, or the writers, the philosophers. And he referred to Jesus as a great storyteller. He said there was one thing about Christ, that he was a great storyteller. And I thought of all the comparisons in the world to make of the Son of God. He who is truth and life, as to make a comparison as to a storyteller. Because there was never anything about the words of Christ that was anything but reality and truth. The parables that he spake at times were so profound and so deep that it was hard for the unsaved to name, just as the Bible is today, for the unsaved to be able to understand. You hear so many people in the modernistic circles today, and I noticed how easily this new Bible was written, and how it was passed right into the churches, and how it was completely accepted. And so many people said, well, we can't understand the old King James Version. The Bible is a book that is written in the Spirit. It's written in the Holy Ghost, and it's only understood in the Spirit. And the unsaved, irregardless of how many times they read these parables, or how many times they read the words of God, they couldn't possibly be able to grasp the actual meaning of them, because they are written in the Spirit, and understood in the Spirit. There is no other way that they can be understood. I think the thing that we needed the least of all in America was a new Bible. I think what we needed was to get back to the old one that we had completely lost all contact with. That was what we needed, not the new one. But yet our churches had become to such an apostate state that anything that was passed out was immediately received. Let's analyze and look carefully at so many of the parables that Jesus spoke. Jesus Christ was God-man. He was God come in the flesh. And Jesus knew as much about atomic warfare. He knew as much about the man who would make the little trip to the moon. He knew as much about planes in the day that he left this earth as he knows about it today. Because he was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But yet when he spoke to the people of that time, he spoke to them in parables that they could understand. He broke it down to where the average man could understand it. But how many of the learned, how many of the educated people ever grasp the reality of the meaning of what Jesus Christ was saying? One. One. the rich man that gave the tomb for him to be buried. But the others were people like you and I. Educational values have no meaning whatsoever in grasping the reality of the Almighty God. Because it is in spirit, and Jesus said, and in truth. It wouldn't make any difference what type of Bible a person would be attempting to analyze the Almighty God through. They would be right back where they started in the very beginning. You cannot analyze God, or either can you make your own personal definition of His Word. Now, to begin with, in the New Translations, you notice about every 3 or 4 years, those translations will change. The change of the translations are the very thing that Satan is after to destroy your fundamental beliefs. A virgin becomes a young woman. The blood in many of the new translations is redemption. And how Satan does want to do away with the virgin birth, the blood of Jesus Christ, and His resurrected power. We don't need anything new today. We need to get back to that place in God where we had lost our contact and relationship with Him in the first place. I notice with the young Christians coming in, Jews, Italians, Spanish, many of them oftentimes speak very, very broken English. And yet the instant the Spirit of the living God has taken it up its abode in that mortal body, and they sit and somebody else begins to read the Scriptures to them, and you can see the faces just begin to light up. There isn't anything about it that's confusing to them. Like Tony, the first Bible that he ever really saw when he opened up the pages of it. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he shall be filled. He said, this I knew in my heart and my soul was the only truth I had ever read in my life. Now, to the average man, that scripture doesn't have too much meaning. But to the body that is filled with the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, this is truth. This is life. This is reality. This is the water that this land is thirsting and drying up from. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet, that this man Jesus would come, that he would heal the blind eyes, that he would touch the lame and that they would be able to walk, that he would touch the deaf ears and that they would be able to hear. This is that which was prophesied to be given unto us thousands of years before he ever made his appearance. So therefore Jesus Christ was truth in reality, come in the flesh. I don't believe that this old world can stand too many days longer. I believe, as surely as I am standing here, that we have come to the end of the line. Our government has completely collapsed around us. There isn't anything left to look forward to on this side of eternity. you had told people 10 years ago that they would have a president that had never been voted into office, that they would have a vice president that had never been voted into office, people would never have believed in their wildest imaginations that this could happen in the United States of America with one assassination right after the other. But yet, here it is. Appointed leaders. No longer even an electoral vote. But appointed like an empire. Like an empire. And yet we talk about a tomorrow when we see our leaders shaking hands and making deals with the very people that have slaughtered millions of blood-washed people because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And yet we look for a tomorrow of what? We're being ushered as fast as the clock goes around every 12-hour cycle right into the mark of the beast. We're numbers. We're no more than numbers on a computer. And yet we simply go along and make ourselves to believe in some sort of fantasy that something may work out tomorrow that's going to bring a tremendous change. I'll tell you what's going to bring a change. Jesus promised us before he left. He said, in those days, you'll do greater things than I did. My Lord and my God. This is the same Christ that raised Lazarus from the dead. This is the same Jesus that walked upon the water. And again, he spoke words of truth and life. And he said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall always stand. And it's going to be fulfilled right down to one jot and one tittle. I believe that in these last days we're going to have the greatest miracle ministry that has ever been known. I don't believe there has ever been anything. Pentecost tried to usher in a healing ministry before God's time. They tried to bring in a miracle ministry before God's time. But God is never late. And he has never early, but he's always right on time. The persecution to the blood-washed, to the believers in Jesus Christ, is something that is almost impossible to be able to stand under today and to continue on with the ministry. It seems like at times that it is absolutely unbearable. But I believe that God is going to raise up somebody in these last days in the power of the Holy Ghost, because human flesh cannot fight this battle any longer. It's too far gone. It's coming to an end. And only the power of the Holy Ghost is going to be able to cut through this demonic, demented, old, sinful world that we're living in. And I believe that God is going to raise somebody up that's going to go across this nation right behind Kissinger and Ford and etc., 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 and that we're going to see a revival here in these last days that has never been known since the beginning of the time. There's going to be a great and mighty outpouring of the Spirit. So I tell you this afternoon, be ye not weary in well-doing, but look up. And in all things give praise and give thanks unto a living God. You know, a man said to us last night, a man of the law, he said, I said to a friend of mine, you'll never tell me, he said, that those people are not of God. He said, I've watched those people, everything they touch turns to gold. He said, I've never seen anything like it in my life. He said, they can go down on the highway and open a service station and take in $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a day. And he said, nobody ever heard of such a thing in this area before. He says, there's something supernatural about that group of people. I said, amen. 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 I feel that we're only getting a breather. And that one of these days, the hundreds of us are going to turn loose from the East Coast, from the West Coast, from every side of this old universe, and yay, even the Holy Land. We ask God for it. We claim it, and it is ours. We're going to see when that becomes a nation in a day, and those Jews that have had a veil over their eyes now for 2,000 years, we're going to see them suddenly open and see them call out to Jesus Christ, Messiah, Jesus Lord, Jesus Savior, and Jesus God. We're going to see that day. We are a group of people that will not be denied. We don't believe that Jesus Christ was the greatest storyteller in the world. But we believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. That He ascended into the heavens. That He sits at the right hand of God at this very moment, making intercession for our sins. That He hears every word we say. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we will not be denied. It doesn't make any difference how many stories are told. It doesn't make any difference how much persecution. We shall see the salvation of the Lord. For we belong to Him. Do you know something? Heaven is waiting for us. Did you know that? It's waiting for us. We're going to be the stars of that event. We're going to be the stars of that event. Oh, when this thing is all over, and we go marching in to take, yes, what did the Bible say? Power and dominion. The angels will be our servants. We're the stars of that event. Why, the Word of God says what He has laid up for us, human minds can't even believe that it's possible. And I'm going to tell you, I can think big. I can think money. I can think big. My Lord and my God, can you imagine what is there if it's beyond anything that the human mind could even believe to be possible? Hallelujah! I believe it. I believe it. With every fiber of my being, I believe that. And I am one person that will not be denied. I don't know, so many people say to me, I don't know how it's possible. You go on making money, knowing in your condition that you may never see the sun rise again. When I sing that song, Lord, I believe that. I believe that. If I was rotted through and through with cancer, He's still a healer. He is still my Lord and my God, and I still say there is no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Jesus says, yes, no, or wait a while. But He never fails to answer. He answers. God has taken care of me. He promised. I kept His word. Now what is He going to do with me? What is He going to do with me? Like I told Him one time, Lord, you can't let me die. What will the heathen say? See? See? You can't let me die. What would the unsaved think about you, Lord? Moses told me. You can't let me die. You've got to let me live. I am going to see the coming of the Lord. I'll see Jesus Christ appear on this earth. I don't know to be back here after all these years. It's so supernatural. If you had told even one of us a year ago that we would have been where we are today, we would have laughed at you. My ministry started right here. And God has some purpose in bringing me back here. I was saved here. I was healed of tuberculosis here. I was dying, little girl. God healed me. He saved me. I never forgot all the years out in the world, the glamour of the motion picture industry. I used to sit around on the sets and sing the same old gospel songs that I heard coming out of right here. In the city where the Lamb is the light, amazing grace, victory in Jesus. And people used to say, what is that song? Where did you learn it? I learned that in a little church a lot of years ago. Then he was as real to my heart and my soul as he is today. And I knew as well that I would be preaching the gospel in the last days. I tell you before the Lord, as I know it today. I believe God. I believe him. I have put him to the test down today. He put me to the test. And I put him to the test. Oh, we've had a good time testing each other. And I can stand recorded in the kingdom of heaven and tell you, Jesus never fails. He never fails. Look how many of you are talking about having desires for material possessions out in the world. Gail, when you ended up with a drug habit, broke nothing. Now she has a beautiful new home, new furniture, husband, three children, had nothing. That's what Satan does to people. He holds up a little glamour, like a Christmas ball, and then smashes it. There isn't anything out there. But in Jesus Christ, there is truth. And there is life. Life in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Our Father, our Lord, and our God. We come to you this glorious Sabbath day with hearts filled with praise and thanksgiving. And we ask you, Lord, that you walk with us throughout this week. Bless, O Lord and God, everything that we touch. Let it turn to gold to be used to thy glory and for the ministry. Lord, let thousands of other young people rise up from the pits of hell and give testimonies to the saving grace and the power of thy blood. Lord, this is the prayer of our heart. Bless our guests. Father, we thank you for sending them and send them back. Give them traveling grace. Encamp thine angels round and about them. Lord, let this next week be a new experience to them. Let a faith take hold upon their minds, their bodies, and their souls that they have never known before in their lives. Jesus, bless us all. Keep us now, O Lord and God, in the palm of thy great and mighty hand, for we commit ourselves unto thee. Amen and amen.